Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. How glorious was that last night? Very, very exciting. Joy Taylor is joining me here on The Herd, a very popular show, beloved by young people everywhere. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I enjoyed that last night. It was fun.
It was fun. My house is still under construction, so I sat in a small corner that didn't have tarp in it by myself and watched an NBA playoff game, and wife's asleep, the whole house is tarped up, and I'm over in the corner sitting watching it, just gloriously fun.
You know, it nights like last night really have a special appreciation for me now. Because every once in a while I'll think back to last year, I'm like, Colin and I really did a show for like 4 months without any sports.
No games. 5 months.
3 hours, 5 days a week.
No games.
With no games. And now we get a game like that, which in any point in our lives would have been a great game. But yeah, I have a little extra appreciation for those now.
Let me spend 3 minutes on this topic. That's about it. Maybe four. Tim Tebow signs with the Jaguars. I don't really care, but nobody plays the victim in America more than Tebow fans. Oh, you guys pick on Tebow. No, we don't. If Derek Jeter, 8 years after leaving the sport, came back and said he wanted to be a catcher, we'd make fun of him. And Jeter was great. Tebow was terrible. I got nothing against Tebow. He's just bad at pro football. I don't care about his religion. Nobody does. In baseball, a pitcher can be great for 4 2/3 innings, but he doesn't get credit for a win until he pitches 5 innings. He can be unhittable. No hitter, 4 2/3. He leaves before that. Before 5 innings, no credit for the win. Tebow got credit for a win in which he completed 2 passes. If he was baseball, he'd never have an official win. In 5 of his 6 wins during that winning streak, he had 10 or fewer completed passes. He's bad at pro football. I don't give a rip about his faith. My favorite NFL player is Brady or Russell Wilson. I don't know Brady's religion. I know Russell's. He's all Christian all the time. He's my second favorite player in the NFL. And by the way, he's highly marketed. He's got advertisements, speaking engagements, commercials everywhere. Seattle is one of America's most agnostic cities. In fact, Google it. Seattle has 10% atheists. Seattle is agnostic. They call it one of America's most godless cities. Russell Wilson is the most popular athlete in Seattle's history. Ken Griffey is close. And he is all Christian. Steve Young in San Francisco, the second most agnostic American city. Steve Young, beloved in San Francisco. Nobody cares. Look around America. Deion Sanders was religious. Tony Dungy is loved and religious. Russell Wilson, Steve Young. We don't care about that stuff. Just don't be crappy at football. He's not any good at football. If he was a baseball pitcher, he wouldn't get credit for any wins. The New York Mets admitted, Sandy Alderson admitted, he was a gimmick. If Tim wants to be used as a gimmick, whatever. That's his life, not mine. But Jacksonville's got the smallest fan base in the NFL by a mile. Like there's nothing close. If Urban Meyer doesn't work, they're pulling the franchise. That franchise is moving. And I think Urban has got a better than 50-50 shot to work, because I think he's smart, and I think Trevor Lawrence is unbelievable as a number one quarterback prospect. But does this feel like you could sell some tickets for this? Heck yes, it feels like that. And I understand that Urban's his friend and Urban likes him. I get it. I like Urban. But my outrage isn't on the religion. Nobody's picking on Tim. My outrage is this, and it's not even really outrage. He has a lower completion percentage, does Tebow, than Kyle Bowler, a first-round bust. He's got a lower passer rating than Paxton Lynch, a first-round bust. He's a bust. And now he wants to play a different position. And I'm supposed to just say, go get him. This is awesome. No, it's not. Bad football players are not good for the NFL. This is not like college football. I don't want to see the Rudy story. It's not high school basketball. Hoosiers doesn't happen in the NFL. I turn the television on. I want the world's best football players. Years and years ago, I forget where it was, Tim Tebow came up to me somewhere. And, he, you know, I was one of the few people that was critical of him. I got a lot of hate mail. And he said, and I told him, I said, Tim, it's not going to work. Because I'm not one of these guys that ducks. If Russell Westbrook came up today, I'd be like, stop shooting threes. And I told Tebow, I'm like, it doesn't work. And he goes, there's more than one way to win at quarterback. And I said, to his face, no, there's not, Tim. No, there's not. There is high school. There is college. No, Tim, there isn't. What about Lamar Jackson? Okay, talk to the hand. Lamar Jackson's passer rating is 99. 99. That's top five ever. Like, people knock Lamar Jackson's throwing. He is Elway compared to Tebow. Like Lamar Jackson's not Mahomes, not Rodgers, not Russell, not nobody thinks he is. And he doesn't play as well trailing as leading, but he gets better. And his completion percentage and his passer rating are like above league average. Tebow's completion percentage is 47%. He won a game with two completed passes. It's not the God thing. It's the he wasn't very good at football thing. And I like good football players. That's all it is. It's nothing against him. It really isn't. He's a good kid. He's a really nice guy. I met his brother. His brother's a nice guy. Tim's a nice guy. Tim's a great guy. And he's used this whole marketing thing, made a fortune. Good for him. No bitterness, no acrimony from me at all. But let's be honest about that. We live in a world now, I call it the post-truth society. You can give people data, and they just don't believe it. Tim Tebow, in five of his six wins in the winning streak, completed fewer than 10 passes. If I went out saying he was great, you'd crush me. You'd be like, what are you doing? Like, it'd be ridiculous to go out and say, oh, he's great. Oh, my God. Hey. In baseball, you have to pitch five innings or you don't even get credit for the win. That winning streak was Denver's defense, Denver's coaching, and Matt Prater's kicking. All right, let's go to Chris Broussard. I went a little longer than I intended to there. I said I was going to go 3 minutes.
I got nothing against Tebow. I got nothing against him.
It's not personal.
Just be better at football and I'll be for you. Yeah, I'd just be good at the football thing. He was good at the college football thing, not the professional football thing. All right, Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst. So my takeaway on the Lakers last night was this. If you'd have told me Steph was the best player on the floor, they shot 44% on threes, Draymond defensively was great, Wiggins was darn good, LeBron played his worst first half in recent memory, and the Lakers won. I mean, all that stuff sounds like, oh, yikes. That's the kind of game the Warriors blow people out. I came out of this and I was like, man, when you can play poorly and beat maybe the MVP of the league, I think the Lakers wake up this morning and go, fellas, this is a good team. We adjusted. By the way, we're great late. Clippers aren't great late. We can adjust. We can play defense. Brooklyn can't play that level of defense. I mean, why shouldn't I be positive and optimistic if I'm a Laker fan today?
Wow. I came away feeling differently, Colin. Right. I think the Lakers are more vulnerable than I expected. Now, I still have them as the favorites in the West. I think LeBron will get better as time goes on. But they are vulnerable. There's no doubt about it. LeBron, you could see, he's not even close to 100% physically. Early in the game, he's going inside, and he couldn't finish. Had trouble finishing because he's used to getting up a lot higher. There you go right there. I know that's just a layup. 9 times out of 10, he'll make that. But he wasn't getting up in the air like he typically does. Now, over time, maybe that'll get better. But for now, he's got to excel on his skills and his smarts. And he's got plenty of both, so he can do that. He did it last night. But until he can get his legs underneath him, that's what they're going to have to do. And that's a concern. Also, I think a big advantage for them, Colin, is their size.
Yes.
Right? They're the biggest team in the league.
Yep.
With the Clippers. And I thought if they meet Brooklyn, man, they're just too big. But here's the thing. Even when they go big, they play small. They don't know how to play big. So when they had they were huge last night compared to Golden State. And in the second half, yes, they went small and it was good. First half, they played big, but their finesse. They didn't bully the Warriors. They barely out-rebounded the Warriors. AD couldn't post up Draymond, who's 4 or 5 inches shorter than him. I mean, the Lakers are a finesse team, and Drummond's not going to play as much as people think.
Right.
Because they were at their best when AD was at the five.
Yep.
And LeBron really was at the point.
Yep.
They need LeBron bringing the ball up, controlling tempo. Yep, go back to that, all right? And the problem is they can beat teams playing that way, but can they beat Brooklyn playing that way? Spread the floor, shoot out, let's go finesse game? No. Because Brooklyn's got three guys that can do what Steph did last night.
Yeah, I mean, Schroeder and Drummond were not on the floor late. That tells you everything. They didn't trust him late. Schroeder, by the way, played one of his worst games as a Laker. He was awful. So, you know, there's always this this perception that cracks me up. And I showed earlier in the show, I showed a minute, like the LeBron's not clutch. And I'm like, and we'll run some of these. I mean, you know, Cleveland, you covered him. And I just look at the LeBron not clutch, and I'm thinking last night he called for the ball on that shot. He had his feet set, and we're going to show you some. You were probably at 99% of these games. LeBron is clutch. I've always thought he's clutch. Your thoughts?
Colin, it has become, and I this is going to be a huge statement, but I think it's true. It is one of the greatest misperceptions in NBA history that LeBron is not clutch. Because if you talk to somebody, random person on the street, particularly if they're not a LeBron fan, they will say, oh, but he doesn't want the ball in the clutch. He doesn't, you know, give me Kobe, give me Mike. And maybe you do. I certainly take Michael over LeBron in the clutch. Maybe you take Kobe. But LeBron is definitely clutch. He's hit 7 buzzer beaters in his career. That is topped only by Michael Jordan with 9, Kobe Bryant and Joe Johnson with 8 apiece. That's it. He's got more buzzer beaters than Larry Bird, than Reggie Miller, than Steph Curry, than Kevin Durant, than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Magic Johnson combined. Kareem and Magic combined. He's got 5 in the playoffs. That's more than Jordan and Kobe combined. And you saw the stat that ESPN threw up last night. Now, over the last 25 years, 99 shots he's made to go ahead or tie the game in the last minute of the fourth quarter or overtime. That's the second most to Kobe by 2 in the last 25 years. I mean, what more do you need? And even the passes he's made, because people will say, well, he passed to Kyle Korver. Don't forget that. Well, Michael Jordan passed to John Paxson and Steve Kerr. The only difference is they made it. Jordan didn't even pass to Kerr or to Paxson. Jordan was out of the play, really. Jordan passed to Pippen, who passed to Horace Grant, who passed to Paxson. I believe that's how it went. And then he did pass to Kerr. So they just made the shot. The pass to George Hill in Golden State last year, the right play. George Hill had a layup. He just missed it. So it is one of the biggest misperceptions. It'd be like if a guy, Colin, was an 87% free throw shooter and the perception was that he couldn't shoot free throws. I mean, that's how bad this is.
No, I mean, you get these narratives going. They're just nonsense, and that is one of them. I look at Steph Curry. I said this earlier. Man, I don't want him to become Bradley Beal. If Klay comes back, hasn't played in 2 years, and he's a 17-point-a-game guy, not a 24, Steph's a free agent by next summer. Should Steph be looking around going, man, I got Clippers could die for me. LeBron, by the way, suddenly now is the biggest Steph Curry fan in the world. That's not a coincidence. Now every 5 minutes, oh, that guy's the best. That's unbelievable. I don't know, man. I look at this Warrior team. Wiseman's years away. Wiggins is expensive. He's not a long-term Warrior, is he? I mean, is it maybe time for Steph to think about greener pastures?
Here's what I've been consistent with this. I think Steph Curry, Colin, should go back next year. He's got 1 year left on his deal, he and Draymond, right? So he's not a free agent until what would that be, the summer of 22? So he's got another year left.
Yeah.
Play that out with the Warriors. I actually think they'll be really good. I mean, what they're showing now, see, the role players, Jordan Poole, JTA, Juan Toscano-Anderson, these guys are getting seasoning. So when they go back to their normal spot, which is on the bench and the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth man, they'll be fine, just like the guys were when it was strength in numbers. Klay, I think Klay will be really good next year. So I think you got Steph and Klay now all of a sudden. Draymond is still playing well. He doesn't score. He's never been able to score. He could score decently because you had other guys to worry about in the past. And with Klay back next year, you'll have two big-time guys you have to worry about. So Draymond will score a little more. He's playmaking as well as ever. He'd average 9 assists a game this year. He's defending as well as ever. I had him on my first team all defense, and you saw him last night against AD. I like Wiseman. I think a starting lineup of Wiseman, Wiggins, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, I think they'll be contenders next year, Colin. I love Andrew Wiggins for what he is. A third scoring option, the fourth best player on the team. Remember, when Andre Iguodala went to the Warriors, Denver got rid of him. Philadelphia moved on from him because it was like, oh, as the man, no, he's not the man. We paid him max money. He's not the man. But in his role in Golden State, some people think he's a Hall of Famer. Sean Livingston was struggling. Goes to Golden State in a certain role. Now he plays well. Leandro Barbosa, same thing. I think that's the same thing with Wiggins. So I think they'll be contenders. But let's say they're not. Let's say they're a seventh or eighth seed again, a sixth seed. Then I think Steph is well within his rights and smart to look at the landscape. If Brooklyn runs through the league this year, if Brooklyn's rolling through the league next year, then you say, okay, I got to go somewhere and form another super team to beat Brooklyn, and I would be fine with that. But give it a shot next year first.
That was a pretty compelling argument right there, Broussard. Hey, by the way, you that whole LeBron grab his head, it was so funny because he grabbed his head, and I thought, oh, he got bonked in the head. And then I watched the replay. I'm like, he didn't get his head touched. And he was grabbing his knee. And then I watched the replay. I'm like, didn't nobody hit his knee. Can we say LeBron kind of likes a little drama to ramp things up? Is that fair to say?
That is incredibly fair. We've seen LeBron flop. LeBron's a flopper. And LeBron, every time he gets hit, look at that. I thought he was out for the season. I didn't, because I knew that's LeBron. I mean, every time he gets hit, though, he takes his time getting up. You know who used to do that? You remember Jim Brown. Not that bad, but Jim Brown would take his time getting up after being tackled. But, yeah, LeBron definitely does that. At first, I was really like, come on, man, get up. I didn't, and he did get poked in the eye. When I saw him on the bench, before he's even getting the drops in the eye, you could see the water. So he did at least get poked in the eye. But, yeah, all of that, I mean, I don't get it. Hey, he's the greatest player in the league. But if that's the only thing we can say about him bad, then he's doing pretty well. But, yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Watch his ankle here. That's what I thought got hurt. I mean, he's a 250-pound dude. When I watched the replay, I looked at his ankle. Everybody, watch the ankle here. Sorry, radio. That's the part I'm like, oh, damn, he just ripped his ankle up. And he never even addressed his ankle. It was his head, it was his knee, it was it. And I'm like, your ankle's the thing that took a beating.
And the head never hit the floor.
Never.
The head never hit the floor. You noticed that.
All right.
So, it was.
Hey, man, it's L.A. Everybody acts a little in L.A. Waiters are actors and actresses. Right, everybody acts a little. All right, Broussard. Great seeing you, buddy.
All right, my man. See you.
All right. That was crazy. A little dramatic, but he did get hit in the eye.
No, you could see it. His eye was watering.
Like, yeah, that I'll give you that.
But then, I don't know, why don't you just sell that?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, it is Draymond who has a history, so there's an argument to be made if LeBron – so here, I'll take you through it. So LeBron's going to sell it hard. Maybe Draymond gets ejected.
Sure.
So LeBron sells it hard for about 15 seconds. Hard. But then you're trapped, because then you can't get up and go, it didn't hurt, right? Because then it's like, oh, it's acting. So once you go into the act of dramatizing a Draymond foul, you got to kind of play the act out.
See, I would disagree. I think he obviously did get hit in the eye.
Yes.
You could see it.
Yeah,
you could see that he got
hurts.
Hit in the eye. So sell what actually got hurt. We all know if you stick Draymond's finger in your eye, that's going to hurt
right.
anyone. So sell that all the way. And then that would actually work. But if you're like holding your head and then you're holding your knee and you're rolling around and then they go review it and it's like, well, and none of that was touched, then it does. Then to me, I would think as a referee, once I watch the replay to judge if it's a flagrant or not, and I see that none of that happens, that's going to sway me to the other direction. Whereas if he was really holding his eye, which you could clearly see got hit, then I would tend to think like, oh, this was a flagrant foul. That's how I look at it.
All right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It was more of great late game drama.
I loved it.
Yep.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, MLB is back on Fox, headlined by an interleague showdown between the Red Sox and Phillies, or it's two of the greatest rivalries in baseball, as the Dodgers take on the Giants and the Cubs face the Cardinals. Saturday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
Another no-hitter last night, Corey Kluber. I did not see it. I was watching NBA basketball. By the way, if you're still running your business on QuickBooks, make it sound like quicksand. Bigger you get, the faster you'll sink. Go to one-of-a-kind-financing, netsuite.com/herd, netsuite.com/herd. By the way, I just went to my iPhone, whatever number it is, and there was Tebow video walking out to the Jags practice facility. And I've said, nobody plays the victim in America like Tebow fans. Oh, you're picking on Tim. He is significantly worse than Paxton Lynch and Kyle Bowler. Statistically, and they were busts in the first round. Nobody's picking on him. I'd say it again. If any athlete was bad at his sport and then 8 years later wanted to come back and play the sport at a different position, we would laugh at them. It'd just take any Major League Baseball player that hit 201 at second base and said, I want to come back and be a catcher. We'd be like, grow up, get a job. I think Tebow actually is treated more favorably because I think he's a good person and we like him. He's a nice kid. I mean, just think about this. Take Tebow out. You're bad at a sport. You leave for 8 years. You say, I want to come back, but I want to play a different position. What is my reaction supposed to be?
What business? There's a lot of businesses where this would sound ridiculous.
All of them?
If you were in the entertainment business and you just stopped, you were an actor. You were like an okay actor. And then you left for 8 years. And then you came back and were like, I want to be a director. No one would take you seriously.
Well, I would push back on that because there are some people do a lot of, I don't know Hollywood well enough, but it does feel like a lot of people are average actors moving to, like Ron Howard.
But you left the industry.
Well, yeah, when you leave an industry for 9 years and then you want to come back and do something different and you weren't good at the last thing you did.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So what is my reaction supposed to be? But in the South, Tim's the most popular college football player of my life. By far.
Yeah.
By far. Reggie Bush was huge for a couple of years. But Tim's the most popular college football player of my life, and he's earned all of it. What I loved about Tim in college, he earned his adulation. What I don't like about his NFL story is he hasn't earned
anything. Well, that's what these blind support – and I like Tebow a lot, and I'm enjoying this story because it's a little bit of chaos. But what – Tebow fans are not understanding is sports is supposed to be the great equalizer of fairness,
yeah.
Right? Like if you
meritocracy,
can play,
yeah.
No matter where you're from in the world, if you can perform, you will get an opportunity. It is supposed to eliminate, in theory, the
favoritism,
old boys club
nepotism,
mentality. Yes,
yeah.
That's not supposed to be. For the players, we know it exists in coaches and front offices, right? Like the evidence is there. But for players on the field, that's supposed to be the one place where if you can play, it doesn't matter where you're from or what you like or what you do,
that is,
you're going to get an opportunity.
That is what the entertainment industry as a whole, when you watched American Idol, those kids that could sing were never from wealthy parents. I mean, their stories were heartbreaking. They were from rural Georgia, rural Texas, and a little girl steps up and Simon Cowell starts crying. What makes entertainment great, it's the ultimate meritocracy. You, doesn't matter how poor, how rich, the race, the gender, great is great is great. But crappy is crappy
right.
Too. And you shouldn't get multiple chances. It feels nepotism. It feels
like the old boys club.
And we don't like that in sports.
Well, yes, because sports is supposed to eliminate that.
Yes. Here, it's not.
Well, I mean, it literally is. Like, the reason he is on the team is because of Urban.
Right. And also, the Mets admitted it was a gimmick to sell tickets. Well, Jacksonville is the one place in America the NFL doesn't work. It literally, they can't sell tickets.
I get it from a marketing standpoint. I also just don't think he's going to make the team. So I'm not outraged.
What if he doesn't make the team? What about a mascot? Is that mean?
No, they have
he could be a Jaguar. Tim would be at the front of the stadium. Rawr. Okay, that was
why wouldn't he just whatever. I'm not going to tell somebody what they should do. I'm not mad at Tim. Tim is only taking advantage of the opportunities that are given him.
I don't want to be used as a gimmick. Like, I don't want to be, like, Tim in baseball was used as a gimmick. Like, when that story came out last month, Sandy Alderson said, you know, we used him kind of as a gimmick. I would be like, oh, I'm not a, you don't have to love me, but I'm not a gimmick.
Yes, but you and I are extremely practical dreamers, right? We have high aspirations and high goals while very much applying them to the idea that we don't want to be broke.
Yeah. Right. I don't like the idea of, I would never want to be the guy they hire just to get sell tickets. I just don't want to be used like that. No, no, no. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Clippers. I'm still very apprehensive about the Clippers.
I think it's, listen, man, no team in this playoffs. And these are good teams right now. We're talking about the Clippers are one of the seven or eight really good teams. But they're the only one, if it doesn't work, they're going to TNT it, kabloom, and blow it up.
Well, they're hoping to redeem themselves after an embarrassing ending to their season in the bubble. But Kawhi believes that his team will be mentally prepared this time around. Mm. He said, I feel like we've got a good team. We got some depth on us. It's just about between the ears now. How much are we willing to sacrifice to get a win? How much of our mind and body are we going to put into this playoffs? That's where I'm at. I am confident in this unit.
Well, it's a good unit. They're just not good late in games, but it's a good group of players. That's not, you can't distinguish between, this league is very easy to go good players, not good players. Yeah. Clippers have good players.
I'm a big Kawhi fan. It's why I picked the Raptors to win when he went there.
Yeah.
Kawhi, to me, his championship pedigree and ability is not what is in question here.
Yeah,
we know what Kawhi is also. I don't know why, if there was some expectation that Kawhi was all of a sudden going to come into the Clippers and be this vocal, boisterous leader of the team. That's not his personality. We know that. So I don't know that that's Paul George's personality either, and maybe that's the issue. I don't want to get too much into intangibles, but it was what happened last year. We couldn't figure out what happened. And we heard after the season ended that they had chemistry issues, which is partly being on the floor together, but it is also intangible. So if they can put it all together this year, they have enough talent to do it. They're favored by 5 over the Mavs in game one, according to Fox Bet. And obviously we know how their season ended last year, losing to the Nuggets.
The longer a movie goes, you can tell if it's a good or bad movie. Yeah. Like, you can be fooled with a bad movie with a great opening 12 minutes. There's a lot of movies that are good for 12. There's an idea there, and then they sink, right? I overvalued Kawhi. I went crazy about a year ago. The more I get of Kawhi, the more clearly I see the truth, which is he's a great talent, both ends of the floor. But I don't feel like he is the LeBron, Butler, Steph, Chris Paul, vocal, verbal, late game, I'll take it over. I just think he's a great athlete. I think what he is, I think he falls into the Anthony Davis thing. I think he's the world's best two. If Steph played with him, I'd be like, that's a cheat. Because Steph could do all the media, all the talking, all the late game stuff. And then Kawhi just goes, get a stop, get a bucket. He's the best get a stop, get a bucket guy in the league.
I think Kawhi is very unique. I think he's in his own category. I don't look at him as a two because he's too good to be a two, and we've seen him be able to take over and be consistent. I think Kawhi needs a strong culture with other players around him who can handle the rest of the team. That's why I think it worked with the Raptors so well. Strong culture, great coach. Other players who had been in the system,
who
can manage all that, and he can come in and just take everything to the next level. The Spurs, incredible culture, one of the most respected in all of sports. Great coach, other talent around him that can handle the rest of it. I don't look at Anthony Davis that way. He is like a true two to me. While still an incredible talent, obviously, I just think Kawhi is in the more of like that assassin role where he just plug him in and he's going to elevate everything,
yeah.
But he doesn't need to be responsible for everything else. You just have to have a strong enough culture and strong enough, loud enough players at the top for the rest of the team to manage everything else. And then that will work.
Yeah.
So, Bucks Heat getting a rematch this year.
Now it starts Saturday or Sunday?
Starts on Saturday. And Bucks owner, Mark Lazary, was asked if he actually wanted to face Miami again this year, and he insisted that they did. He said, "We did. When we played the Heat, we played our guys. We didn't want to do what a lot of other teams have done, which is sit all their guys. We played our guys to make sure. We wanted to send a message. I think that message has been received. I think it will be a great matchup for us. Be careful what you wish for."
Great first round series. These are two teams both very capable of getting to the Eastern Conference Championship.
Obviously, I love the Heat, so I'm looking forward to this. But I also think while Milwaukee has mostly gone pretty quiet this season, we have been talking about the Nets and the Clippers and the Lakers and the Sixers. We haven't been paying much attention to the Bucks, and even though Giannis has had an incredible season, we obviously knew he wasn't going to be very high in the MVP conversation again because that's not how the writers do it. They lost to the Heat in the Eastern Conference semifinals 4-1, gentlemen sweep last year.
Yeah.
Then they lost to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference finals the year before. And they lost to the Celtics in the first round the year before that.
Yeah.
So while we haven't been paying much attention to them, if they get knocked in the first round by the Heat.
Oh, they're going to blow it up. They're going to fire their coach. So they're not going to fire Giannis.
They have to do something.
Yeah, no. So be very careful about getting rid of Brad Stevens because Budenholzer's gone if they get bounced early. They're not going to tell him that.
What do you do?
You go get a Doc Rivers. You go get somebody who's been good in the playoffs. You'll go out. You know, like a Stan Van Gundy. You'll find somebody that's had some. I don't know how much playoff success he's had. You just go. By the way, maybe you find Mike D'Antoni or whatever it is. If they get knocked out early, they're not going to blow the roster up because the roster is good enough now to get to the finals. The Budenholzer will be ejection seat.
Is it? I mean, if they don't do it this year, what more can you possibly add to that? You have Drew Holiday,
no,
you have
you
Chris
can't.
Middleton. Like, they have a great team.
Well, you're trapped, too, because Middleton and Giannis are max guys. So there's no room for financially to bring more guys on.
Can't wait for this series. So the Eagles have not yet named Jalen Hurts the starter for next season. And head coach Nick Sirianni has noted the importance of having competition at every position.
Are we going to play a soundbite from him?
No, we're not. Okay. Jalen Hurts is ready to prove he is the man for the job.
I know I'm not above anything with a competition or a football IQ. All the values we have, I'm not above none of that. So everybody got to go to work, you know. So for me, I know rent is due every day. It's always been that way for me. Always been a get better mentality every day, grow every day. Be a better leader every day, be a better quarterback every day. And when that rent's due, I don't plan on missing no payments.
I like that. My kind of guy.
I'm rooting for Jalen Hurts. I don't think the Eagles are going to have a great season.
No. Fourth. Nope. Not good.
But I do want to see what Jalen can do once they really truly turn it over to him.
Yeah, I don't know
which
enough.
They are going to do. Even though Jalen has proven nothing so far, obviously. He hasn't had a big enough body of work to prove that he's the guy. I don't like when you have someone like Jalen Hurts that you don't just commit to him. What is the value of saying there's a competition at quarterback?
I want him to take all the snaps in preseason. So for me, like, he's one of those rare quarterbacks. I'd play him in the preseason. I'd let him play every game in the preseason.
You have to, I think.
Get him snaps. We'll
not
see.
Every snap, but I mean, you obviously need to play him in the preseason. I don't know. I don't like when they don't hand the team over to him. Even if it doesn't work, at least you gave him the full shot. That's why I didn't like what they did with Tua last year. Find out what you have with him. If he wasn't ready at the beginning of the season because he wasn't healthy, fine. But once he's healthy and he's out there, turn the team over to him. There's a mentality. There's an energy to, like, this is my team. I'm going to lead them. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least you gave him a full shot.
Yeah, I mean, you can even watch the highlights we're showing you. There were moments.
Yeah.
He was dynamic. There are moments. I don't think he's Kyler Murray, but there are moments. I mean, it's like certain quarterbacks you look at and you're like Tua. There's not a lot of dynamic stuff. We would struggle to find dynamic Tua highlights.
I mean, we have a four-game sample size with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but look,
need a little more.
But you can
see him pop.
Yeah, I mean, we got four games of highlights. There's all sorts of great plays. So there's something there with him. It's why I defend Sam Darnold. There's a lot of highlights with Darnold that look like Brett Favre. I know he's bad, but you got to show me. There's got to be kind of some dynamic appeal. That's my knock on Tua. Like, where's Fitzpatrick's more dynamic than
What's
Tua?
What's something that you can see that you can say, okay, if he can do more of that, if he can elevate on yes. that, if we can maximize that, then that has great
This
potential.
Kid's played four games, and we're showing you highlights where he's making great plays against good teams. So there's something there. I just need to see it over 15, 16 games. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Limited time Memorial Day sale, 15% off everything you need for cooler, better sleep, including the new Casper Cooling Collection on sale first time ever, casper.com/promo. I had said this, joy is my witness. I had said over the last couple years, I had two people that had worked inside the Patriots organization, the New England Patriots, that had told me that Belichick, this is why the Patriots drafted so poorly over the last 5 or 6 years, really poorly drafted team, that Belichick in mid-January just told the scouts, go home, I'll take it from here. It led to a lot of whiffs in the draft. They were overdrafting players. But Belichick has now, in the last 6 months, acknowledged the problem. There are multiple stories where he is admitting now he's got to let the scouts have more say because scouts didn't want to work for the Patriots. What's the point? I mean, if you were good at your job, you wouldn't want to work for a company that dismisses you at the most important time of the year, the draft. So they were losing good scouts to other teams who just wanted to be listened to. And Belichick is acknowledging that problem, adapting, evolving Bill Smart. Nick Saban hated up-tempo offense. Complain. And then he has now beautifully transitioned into it. Mike Krzyzewski, Duke, did not like the one and done at all. Hardcore traditionalist. And then one day, I remember he came on my show and said, yeah, after I started getting beat by it, I thought, well, I better embrace it or I'm going to be out of work. Mike Krzyzewski put his ego aside. Saban put his ego aside. Belichick put his ego aside. Greg Popovich cannot. The Spurs will not make the playoffs second straight year. It's more than that, though. They took the fewest threes in the NBA. They refused to acknowledge a mathematical truth. You got to shoot threes. You're not going to win championships. They're not even a playoff team now. He also got hosed on that Kawhi to Toronto trade. Terrible trade. Got DeMar DeRozan, who can't shoot threes, in return. It was a bad trade. Why? Because Pop's ego got in the way that Kawhi Leonard did not want to deal with Popovich, his system. You know, this is all on Popovich. Coach K, Saban, Belichick. Put their ego aside, their system aside, and acknowledge, I got to evolve here. Bobby Knight couldn't. Greg Popovich has not. You cannot be last in the NBA in threes. You're not going to win. You're not going to be a great team. The math is the math. Okay? And the other thing is, that Kawhi trade was all vanity and ego. Get over it. Kawhi didn't like it. Get something out of it. Get a three-point shooter in return. So they have earned their way to the couch. The Spurs have earned it. And Popovich acknowledges he hates the three-point shot. I get it. Nick Saban hated up-tempo offense. I can remember years ago, I was at the other place, and Saban was at the place and we were talking about it. He didn't want to say this on the air because he didn't want to feel like a bad sport. They had just lost to Auburn, and he didn't want to come off as a bad sport. But he said, Colin, he goes, we went and looked at that film. He goes, there were 11 missed calls, not all against us. He goes, the game's too fast. The referees can't keep up with the game. These are 60-year-old men. You got to give them 15 seconds to, like, catch up, get their breath. The game is so fast now. He didn't want to say it publicly, come off as a bad sport. And I think I'm fair to say it now. He's like, the game is too fast. And by the way, the up-tempo now is a little slower than it was. It's not a race to get to the line of scrimmage like it was during kind of the Oregon Chip Kelly days, where a play every 13 seconds. But at some point, Saban, to his credit, went, okay, this is a problem. Saban's defenses couldn't stop it. And Nick's thinking, well, if my defenses can't stop it, then they're not going to be able to stop ours. And that's what I appreciate. That's why Nick Saban may seem tough and rigid. He's the great adapter. He keeps evolving and adapting and transitioning, and I have unbelievable respect for that. What Popovich is doing is just ego. Let it go. Shoot threes. Our three is coming up.